with the Economic Development Committee meeting Tuesday, December 1st, 2020, 6 p.m. I have myself, Alderman Olszewski, Alderman Frieders, Alderman Koch. Who am I missing? I am missing Alderman Peterson. I do not see Alderman Peterson.
Yes, okay, he did say he would be here, so he might just be logging in a little late.
He may be late. And I see lots of staff and some public there. So, do we have any citizens' comments?
I don't know if this is the time to speak up. I don't know if this is the time to speak up about the chicken.
Yes, is it regard? Do we want to do it now or when we discuss chickens?
Doesn't matter to me.
Well, let's do chickens first. We can flip the.
Okay. Bird. Can we do? Why don't we do flip that? Why don't we move? So there's no citizens' comments on anything besides chickens. Okay, so let's move old business 1 EDC 2020-32 urban chickens up on the agenda. And so we have a public comment on the chickens. Can you state your name, first and last name, for the minute takers? Me?
Sure, yeah, this is Tim Johnson. I'll go first if there's multiple people on, I guess.
Go for it, Tim.
Yeah, so I appreciate Chris extending the Zoom invite and the opportunity to come on here and speak. I had written a letter to the city council, and both of my daughters had put together something as well, which I saw were part of the package here. So I really appreciate the city, you know, taking the time to discuss the topic. It's something that you know, my family is very interested in pursuing at some point in time down the road. Not looking to necessarily do it even in the next year, but you know, soon after that, would be to raise chickens. My daughters have shown interest. We have some friends that live in Tennessee that have had chickens, and you know, sharing their Instagram posts and different things to really, you know, sparked an interest in my daughters, mostly, to do the same, to raise chickens as well. And we own a unique, you know, parcel of land in Yorkville. We're on, you know, the 401 East Main Street. So we're in the old part of town, and we actually own between the two parcels over an acre and a quarter of land. And I think that really opens up the opportunity for us individually, you know, to have some additional options that may not be, you know, the best choice for something that has an HOA. Like I said, I looked through the packet and, you know, just looking at the City of Batavia ordinance, I think looks pretty fair. And looks like some great guidance if the city were to pursue allowing chickens. And I think that's about all I really have to add.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Do I have anybody else that wants to add to that? No one else? Okay, so let's open it up for discussion with our committee. Comments, questions from the committee?
So we heard from the party. Somebody wants chickens. Nobody else wants chickens, but if Tim wants chickens and we have a method of which to make sure he's following all the requirements, I guess we have chickens. Carlos is going to love it.
Ken, do you have anything you want to add about chickens?
My thing was just they should be on the biggest lots as possible in my mind, but.
Okay, Jason?
I would agree. I think they need to be on bigger lots so that it's not an encumbrance on neighbors or an interference with what they have going on.
Okay. Does staff have anything? Anything on chickens? Are we good? Do we want to move this forward to city council for some everybody's discussion to see what the go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Christy.
A couple of meetings ago, I did provide you a couple of options with limited regulation, moderate regulation, substantial regulation. And if you were looking for large lots, you would be looking at the limited regulation. You can even staff it propose the E1 and R1 district, but if you're just looking to do a lot size, you can do that as well. You can say, you know, 1 acre or more, and then you can have the same criteria established under the limited regulation. Or you can, you know, do a hybrid and do a minimum acreage and then do moderate regulation, which would require a little bit more a permit and an inspection, or without an inspection actually, just a permit, one-time fee of $25.
Just a one-time fee, you said?
Yeah, so the moderate would allow you a maximum of 6 chickens, where the limited would allow you 8 chickens. You can establish a minimum lot size. The setback would be rear and side yard with at least 25 feet setback of any building. They would have to, of course, maintain per our property maintenance code. They would have to build an enclosure if we did the moderate regulations, which would require a covered roof and about 2 square feet per hen. And then they would not be allowed to run free in the yard, but if it was fenced, they could. And then you would just be required to get a permit without an inspection for $25 a one-time fee.
Well, I like the idea of a bigger lot if you're going to do it. And I don't know, is there any way, okay, so about a month ago, I'm walking down the street, old side of town, Bristol, near the new Marker development. Just walking, here come some chickens walking down the street. Two-list free-range chickens. So do we want to allow something like that? I don't know whose chickens they were. Obviously, somebody already has chickens on that side of town. And, you know, that, are we saying that we want it so that they could be in their yard? But I watch, and these chickens hopped over the fence. So I don't want the problem if they do this. Like, how do we, you know, what if a neighbor's dog gets it? You know, that opens up problems. How do we regulate that? I guess it's kind of hard.
So currently, we do have an ordinance called Animal at Large. So if there is any animal that's out, be it a cat, dog, or whatever pet, you can get cited for that. Otherwise, you can, in the regulations that I propose, you can have them in a roofed-in, caged-in area and not permit them to roam in the yard. So that's the only way, where you can have a fence, you know, minimum fence height requirement. But other than that, you know, animals do escape.
Yeah. No, you're right. Dogs get out and yeah. I'm just looking for, you know, well, people complain when dogs are out. So, well, what do we say? So do we want to have staff, do we want to give direction to staff to create an ordinance to bring forward, or do we just want to bring it forward for more discussion and see what the rest of the council? Any suggestions?
And it's using the moderate. And then as long as we have something in there about the complaint process and how we're not going to be turning into the chicken police,
yeah.
And there has to be at least 2 puns in the ordinance or I'm going to vote no.
Ken?
Yeah, besides the big lot, I think they need to be contained. I don't think that free-range chickens on any, on even a big lot would be an issue, and they'd be on the street, and yeah, your neighbor's dogs. So they have to be, I think, at minimum, some type of enclosure fenced in, not freelancing.
All right, so I have a dumb question I'm going to ask you, Ken. You grew up on a farm. Did you have chickens?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a dumb question. Is there a limit? Is there a fence height that they cannot jump? Because they really don't fly very well, do they?
They fly. They fly pretty
so
well.
So like you can't say, you can have them in your yard, but you have a 6-foot fence. They could get over the 6-foot fence?
Yes. Yes, they could fly over a
okay,
fence.
Okay, thank you. I was just asking that. I mean, how mobile chickens were.
They fly better than a turkey would.
Okay.
Crossing roads, Ken?
Huh?
Will they be crossing the road?
If they're free, they can cross the road. To get to the other side, right?
Well, okay, so Jason, are you okay with direction that we have an ordinance and bring it forward?
Yes.
Okay.
And I agree with Ken. I agree with everybody else with all the having some sort of guidelines with that. Because obviously, if you've got animals, I don't care if it's a dog or a chicken or whatever, but typically you're going to have more chickens than you are dogs, right? So the dogs are one thing, but if you've got chickens and they're jumping across the road or flying across the road or running across the road and cars are going through, that's just, you know, that could be an accident waiting to happen with multiple people. So, you know, as long as we can try to make it as safe as possible for, you know, cars, pedestrians, that type of thing.
Christy, on the moderate, was there a limit? I don't recall. Do we have a limit on the number of chickens?
Yeah, proposed it's 6 chickens. We can always lower it to 4. That was the substantial regulation number.
Okay. Anybody have any suggestions on numbers of chickens? Oh, thank you. So do we want to go with the moderate or the substantial number for chickens?
Why not go with the moderate and then you can always change it later on, right?
Yeah, that's, I'm fine with that.
True.
So then so we're looking at the moderate to start with. That's what we want to base our.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a
minimum right.
lot size of an acre, correct?
Is that what 12,000 square feet is? Is an acre lot?
No, 43,560 is an acre.
Okay.
So
do we want to do an acre? Do you want to do the 12? Should we start and just have an ordinance drawn up for the moderate and go from there when we have more discussion?
Yeah, let's do that. We're starting
off here.
Yeah.
Is anybody? Yeah.
I would say that's a good place because looking at Tim Johnson's property, he has what I think he said an acre and a half. He's R2.
Mm-hmm.
So a traditional R2 is 12,000 square feet, but if you're going to go with just the large lots, if it's based on zoning, that eliminates a lot like his because of a zoning classification. So there might need to be some type of, you know, making sure that the size of the lot works with the zoning as well, because there are going to be some of those in the older area of the town that size doesn't conform to zoning.
And you could always get rid of the zoning and just say residential
just
lots.
Just go with that. Okay.
Right. That's a good. Does that give staff good direction for a starting point?
So I'm a little unclear. So I know that we want a complaint process addressed in there in some way or another, potentially with recourse.
Yes.
Everybody seemed to be favoring the moderate, and I heard a couple comments that said that they would prefer larger lot sizes versus the 12,000 square foot minimum as drafted there. So in the context of just the one resident who's spoken on the matter, if they has a 1.5 acre lot, a minimum of 1 acre lot, we can, you know, run that through the GIS system and let you know how many lots there are, you know, somewhere between the 260, I think it was, under the one zoning column compared to like the 6,600 that there were under the moderate ones. We can tell you how many there are and then kind of propose that. So it would be a moderate with a larger lot size, seemed to be, I think, what everybody was kind of leaning towards.
Mm-hmm.
And containment.
Yep.
Okay. Do we want that at a future city council meeting, or do you want that at a committee meeting?
Oh.
I'd once they go to city council. Or, I mean, it's not like people are going to be re-upping their chicken stashes between now and April. So, I mean, I think we do have some time. So if we want, we kind of solidify on that one moderate, make it into the ordinance, and we discuss that here and then kick it to city council.
I'm fine with that.
I agree with that.
Okay, bring it back to EDC then.
January.
The ordinance form. Okay, we're good with that? Okay, let's go back up to minutes for correction and approval. They're from October 6, 2020. Any comments or anything on the minutes? We're all good? So we'll take those as presented. New business one, EDC 2020-49. The building permit report for September and October 2020. Is that Pete?
I'm here, sorry about that. Okay.
That's okay.
In October, we ended up adding 25 single family homes and 28 single family attached homes. We also did 9 commercial permits. That at the end of October, that brought us to 270 single family homes, both attached and detached, that have been issued. So at this point, we should, if this month keeps tracking the way it is, we'll exceed 300 single family homes this year between attached and detached issued. So it's a pretty good year.
Cool. Yep. Any comments or corrections or anything on the building permit report? Are we all good?
All good.
I see head nods and thumbs up. Okay, so we're good with that. Let's go to two, EDC 2020-50, the building inspection report for September and October.
Okay, during the course of September and October, we did nearly 800 inspections. We ended up outsourcing 100 inspections, roughly 94 inspections totally, to building and fire code. You'll note that the last 3-4 months our inspections have been, our outsource loads have been going up. That's due to the necessity that I take a few days, like 2 days off during the week, to handle the administrative part of the department and also handle plan reviews. In general, up till this year, I've been able to handle most plan reviews early in the morning or later on at night. But this year, our volume is so high that there's no time to do it unless I actually take time off the inspection. So that's why we're outsourcing more. You'll notice that as we go on the year.
Any questions on the building inspection reports? We're all good? Okay. So let's go to EDC 2020-51, property maintenance reports for September and October.
All right. We did not hear any cases in October. We had a lot of complaint tracker issues and complaints, but they were all brought into compliance during that course, that 35-day period, right? Most of them were in a 10-day period. As far as property maintenance goes, you know, we have our normal outstanding areas that are issues. Jackie, you're well aware of them, and Chris too. We're working on those areas and other complaint-based issues, but with the coronavirus and everything else like that, we're trying to not have any person-to-person contact out in the field. We're normally, if we had an issue, we just knock on the door. Now we're leaving door hangers, which have been extremely effective since we've implemented them. We get a lot of people call right away, very upset, feel that they got a citation, and then we just, you know, no, this is just a pre. We're just letting you know this could be an issue, and we'd like you to take care of it. And once they figure that out, usually they take care of the issues. So it's been a very good tool we're using now.
Great. Any comments or questions on the property maintenance? We're good? Okay. Let's go on to four, EDC 2020-52, the economic development reports for October and November. Lynn, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay, so everything's in the report. I don't know if you have any questions on anything. Obviously, Smoothie King opened to rave reviews. Yorkville loves Smoothie King. Yorkville loves Popeyes. Everything's going great, both locations. And Jonas, who is the owner of the Arby's, the Smoothie King, is now going to be purchasing Blackstone. So I didn't know if you have any questions about that, because today is a day, December 1st, where there's going to be kind of a change going through. The closing hasn't taken place, but his team is going to be there, and they're going to be working. So they're going to be using Blackstone's menu and not changing anything, working with their employees. So you'll see some of those faces. Brandon was used to be over at Roadhouse, and Joe Peretta, who is a resident, but the chef by training, and Jonas over at Blackstone getting ready to take it over. They are going to do a remodel of the space. They're going to put an addition on. And they are going to change the menu and the name, but not until we're done with everything. It would be impossible to, try to start a new restaurant in the midst of COVID, have a quarantine. So the same, but there'll be an evolution of that. And Blackstone is such a gem, so people look to it, and so their desire is to continue it to be something special for the community for years to come.
Okay, any comments, questions on these reports?
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ken?
Yes.
Yeah, Lynn, did the Martini Banquet Facility ever get anything done, any banquets at all, this since they opened and remodeled it and opened?
In the very beginning, when they first opened, I believe they had one wedding.
Wow, it's such a beautiful place.
It is. It's heartbreaking because he has nothing to compare to. So when we go to look at different grants that are available, he has nothing to say. I lost this much because he wasn't open. It's very sad. So I think it was one wedding. So if you go on their website, there was photos of that event, and it was spectacular.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, we're good. Let's go to 5, EDC 2020-53, the Renew Incentive Program Repeal.
Okay, so if you can recall, about 6 years ago, the city started looking at incentive programs for builders as well as developers. One of the programs was the BUILD program, which was pretty successful. So that was geared not only to the developer, but to the potential buyer. We looked at a program because we were hearing from builders that they don't have the funds to do a model or a spec on their site, so they were sending potential home buyers in Yorkville to other locations to look at homes, and they ended up buying out of the city. So they were looking for some type of incentive to help them to build spec or model homes. So we did the Renew program about October of 2014. And at that time, there was no limit as far as time or term for the program. It just had a maximum of 30 permits for our spec, which allowed them to get 50% off the building permit fees on the city portion. And the model home, we set a maximum of 15 permits that would allow the builder to get 100% rebate of the city's building permit portion. So, we had some moderate success. We had about 4 builders participate in the program over the past 6 years to a total of 10 permits. So we had 7 that did the spec home permit out of the 30 that were available, and 3 model homes out of the 15 that were available. So you're looking at respectively 20% of the program. And because of that, staff looked at, maybe there is no need for this particular program at the time, because again, building is really going well in Yorkville now. So if you recall the basics of the program, you'd have to purchase a minimum of 10 lots in order to get one of the spec or one of the home, the model homes. And then after those 10 lots are sold or 9 lots are sold, and you can, if you purchase another 10 lots, you can get another one of these free or reduced rate permits. I reached out to a couple of builders who participated in the program to kind of get some feedback if they were okay with us, ending this program. Two responded, and one of them said that the program was good, they were interested in it, but they weren't able to purchase the requisite minimum 10 lots. They had a few lots in this subdivision and a few lots in that one, so they didn't qualify, but they're still building in Yorkville. The other one was a larger home builder. They are interested in the program. I think they were the one that participated most recently, early this year or last year. And they thought that the program would help them have a competitive edge in selling lots in Yorkville. They are still building in Yorkville, and they would like to see the program continue. So staff is requesting just some direction from the EDC about, is this something that you want to continue indefinitely? Is there a time frame? Or is this something you just want to end via a repealing of an ordinance? So we did a draft ordinance for you to review. And if you have any other questions about the program, feel free to ask me or just give direction to the staff so that we know how to move forward.
Questions from anybody? Comments from anybody? Joel?
I guess part of me understands the MO behind the program. But if the program in and of itself is restrictive in the fact that some of these builders are trying to fill in those smaller pockets and they don't simply own the 10-lot minimum, is there an alternative to this type of program, or are there things that we should change instead of repealing it totally? What's the best way to not only encourage the building of the spec home, but not make it where they have to have that 10-lot minimum?
You could reduce the minimum lots to 5. The reason why we did the 10 is because we didn't want an abuse of the incentive. It was there for people who were taking over these, you know, zombie subdivisions that had multiple lots, and it was an incentive for them to at least get maybe one or two models and maybe a spec. And the benefit of having it on a smaller level is you probably, you know, get through the program faster. You would have people issue, you know, applying for the permits faster. But I don't know if there's necessarily a benefit to the city in reducing that number and just giving away, you know, free permits. The intent of it was to have a but-for purpose in it. But for this program, the builder probably wouldn't build a model or a spec in the subdivision. Seems like people are still building. They don't necessarily need a model or a spec to get something sold in Yorkville, so.
So staff is suggesting that we repel it, right?
Yes.
I got a question. Mm-hmm. How many other municipalities in the area are using the same incentive program or similar?
I'm not sure. I don't believe any in our immediate area, but I can't say for sure. I have not looked at other communities. Yes.
I'm not aware of any, and I know that in 2014, when we approved it, there might have been one or two others that do it. And I know it's in the packet, but Christy, can you? This provides basically is it a total waiver of the building permit fee, or it's a delay of the payment of the fee?
So it's a waiver, but for the spec, you get 50% of the city's portion of the building permit fee reduced or refunded, and then a model, you get 100%. So, now, there's a time limit. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So
there's
that's
a time limit.
Go ahead, sorry.
Now, there's a time limit that if you were to sell the model before, you would have to reimburse the city a portion, you know, of that reduction.
But if it didn't sell, then they were entitled to a credit of, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, depending on the subdivision. Could have been more on some of them. And, you know, the intent when it was created was to convince people to buy lots that were distressed and save them for future development. And, you know, in the past 3 or 4 years, we've seen, one, that nobody's used it, and two, that our building permits have grown, you know, generally year over year, you know, outside of the necessity of this program. So, you know, I get it when we're asking developers if they would prefer to save money on a building permit fee, they would say yes, but I think the intended outcome here is probably not what we had envisioned.
So, and I'm looking at this, so over the period of this program, am I right in assuming that we paid out a little over $64,000, or well, not that we paid out, that we waived $64,000 over like 6 years?
No, the chart is showing the total permit fees, so we would have to go in individually and see what was reduced. So
it's probably half to three quarters of that is my guess.
Yeah.
Half of the $64,000?
Yeah, half to three quarters of it is probably what we ended up waiving. Because the amounts that we wouldn't waive would be the YBSD fee of anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000, the school transition fee, which is, you know, $1,500 to $3,000, and then a school land cash fee, which is, you know, anywhere from $0 to a few thousand dollars, depending on the subdivision.
Okay, so like on page one of the permit summary report, like where you have Lennar, and it says permit fees of $1,973. We would have waived half of that?
Potentially. So for a model, you did, you got...
it says it's a model.
Yeah, you got 100% of that. So it depends on what portion of that, you know, 1900 was for...
Okay.
For what, but yeah, it could be all of it or half of it.
Yeah, so I guess where I'm going is I say if it's even if it was 64,000 over what we say six years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 10,000 a year for us to do this just to put a spin on the, you know, a dollar amount. So, anybody, Ken, what do you think? Waive it, let it go?
I guess I would. I think we should follow the staff recommendation myself.
Okay. Joel?
Agreed.
Okay. And Jason, there you are.
I would agree, dissolve it.
Okay. All right. There's your direction.
Thank you.
All right. So that's going to go to City Council next week?
It can if you like. I do have an ordinance attached already.
Okay. All right. Yep, why don't we do that? So let's go on to 6 EDC 2020-54, the Kendall Marketplace, Lot 52, Phase 2 and 3, final plat of re-subdivision.
All right. So, sorry, I need to set up here. All right. So Abbey Properties have filed petition for final plat for Phases 2 and 3 of Kendall Marketplace. They started phase one this May. They got that final plat done for the first 48 units. This will be for the next two phases. So Kendall Marketplace is located off 47 and 34. This is the residential just south of Blackberry Shore Lane. Project summary is that this should be, I believe, 72 more units. Consisting of, I think, 12 buildings total. When we reviewed the final plat within the OAS ordinance from Kendall Marketplace, it needs to have a general conformance with the overall conceptual plan. The plat meets the conceptual plan exactly, just like phase one, phase two, and phase three. They submitted a phasing plan back for the first phase, which matched, and it is continuing, no changes. We did have plan council in November with staff from community development. We had a couple questions. First, just asking them if they want to do phase four while they're at it, just so we can streamline this process a little bit. They said they were okay. They did not have any intention. They did not mind going through the final plat process again. And then we also asked about stormwater management. It seems in phase four, at least from the plat, it seemed that phase four had the stormwater detention. We were told, and then EEI also confirmed, that stormwater detention is already there. It exists, so any phases, phase two, phase three, phase four, they already have stormwater detention in place, so it is not an issue. And then this is not a public hearing, but it is slated to go to Planning and Zoning Commission January 13th. And then per the subdivision control ordinance, a final plat should get EDC and PZC's recommendation. So this could also go to EDC in February and then City Council. Dave, I believe, is here, and so is Ashley, who are representing the petitioner. If you guys have any extra questions for them, I'm sure they'd be happy to answer as well.
Any comments, questions from the alderman? We're all good with this? Alderman Frieders?
So the storm, the current storm retention is it, right? That's where everything's going to be feeding into that pond?
That's correct. Big, both the big pond and then the smaller pond that feeds Black Bear Shores right now, the single family portion. It's in an easement currently.
And then traffic construction is going to continue to kind of come from the southwest.
Right. That's why we built that access, correct.
All right, and then how are the house phase one, is that selling?
I have sold one unit. I haven't put them on the market because I don't want to decide I can deliver a product and then not have my inspections completed and things like that. I'm just more of a quick delivery model. So, and my models haven't said that they will be ready in 3 weeks. I'm going to say January 1st. Cool. But I don't have any, knock on wood, for all our estates. I don't see it going down, and the inventory is so low. I'll have 10 on the market to sell by the end of December 31st.
Cool. Good luck.
Thanks.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, let's move this one forward. So we send it to PZC. That's where it goes next?
Yes, it will go to January PZC.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty. So let's go to 7, EDC 2020-55, the Grand Reserve, Neighborhood 5, Units 15 and 22 Townhomes, the final plat amendment.
Okay,
any
so
comments?
The
petition. Go ahead.
Did you want to just ask for comments, or did you want to make a summary?
Give a summary.
Okay.
You're on a roll.
All right. The petitioner is D.R. Horton. They are working in Grand Reserve, and they're seeking a final plat amendment. They are moving into the townhome area, the partially built-out townhome area near Mill and Kennedy Road. They are purchasing 17 EBEs, and if you recall back from the Raintree development, these are exception to blanket easements. So the developer initially platted it with, you know, just the shape of the building, and then just said this was an exception to the blanket easement, but they weren't individually lotted. So when you go to sell, it makes it a little bit harder during the title, you know, portion of the sale. So what they're trying to do is just create these fee simple lots. So it ends up being about 80 fee simple lots consisting of a little over 7 acres. And it branches out over units 15 and 22, which is all in neighborhood 5. So they're planned for townhome units, and the developer is just looking to do a straight amendment to illustrate that the individual townhomes will have their own lots. And one thing came up in the review that didn't hit this packet was that the title of the proposed new final plat only referenced the neighborhood 5. Grand Reserve is unique. They have units and they have neighborhoods. And so when the city originally approved units 15 and 22 for final platting, it was referred to by the unit. So we've asked the petitioner to revise their final plat to refer to the unit number rather than the neighborhood number. So they're going to make that minor change before it goes before the PZC in January as well. There's a breakdown chart if you're interested on which parcels that have EBEs, what their proposed lot numbers would be in the packet, and there's no other changes that they're proposing in regards to
building setbacks or minimum building separations. As Jason mentioned, the subdivision control ordinance allows, if the EDC feels that there's further review needed of this, we can bring it back to a future EDC. And if you like, we plan for the February 2nd. If you don't feel that there's further review needed, we can skip that February 2nd and go straight to City Council with a recommendation from PZC, but that's up to you, and you can let me know how you would like to proceed tonight.
Okay. Any comments or questions? All the readers?
I say we continue forward. I don't know if you guys have been over in this area, but this is right by Bridge Park, and it's kind of a cool little spot in Yorkville because all the young little families have not only a shared use path to go all the way up to 47, but Bridge Park is right across the street, and it's I think this is one of those areas where it's going to kind of be a little easier to sell because you're so close to Orchard and you're so close to 47, the you know, Kennedy Road and stuff. So I don't see any reason outside of the language change that you guys requested to hold this one up.
Sounds good. Ken, you're okay? Jason?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay. All right, so we don't need to bring it back then to EDC. We can just keep it moving forward. We're all good with it? Okay, let's move that one on. And no need to bring it back. Just send it to the City Council. All right, we've got everything. Any additional? What?
Sorry, real quick, I can use direction on mine as well. Do you want to bring Kendall Marketplace back to EDC, or should we just go PZC City Council?
Go.
Keep it moving.
Okay.
I see thumbs up. Okay. Does that help? Okay, Jason. We have finished everything on our agenda except for additional business. Anybody have any additional business items? Alderman Frieders?
On Tuesday, when we start talking about kind of front funding the grant program, I know that the original idea was, you know, $200,000 to kind of match what the state's potential buy-in was or reimbursement amount was. But I think it kind of makes more sense to go into that meeting on Tuesday expecting to, out of the 600 or so that we received from the state or the CARES Act, I think it would make more sense to go into that meeting expecting 200 to be the small amount of money, but maybe split that 600 and change that we received right down the middle to make sure that we're supporting Yorkville. Because I don't know if anybody has talked to anyone who actually attended the Thanksgiving celebration, but there's a lot more people sick right now than there were this time last week. So I think we need to kind of prepare ourselves for a conversation on Tuesday to up that dollar amount immediately and just start spending money to make sure these people can stay in their homes through the winter. So I just wanted to kind of wet our whistles on that because I'm getting a little freaked out.
Okay. Anything else from anybody? Ken? You're good, Jason?
Negative.
Okay. Then it is 6:43 and let's adjourn our meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.